It's a joy to be back with you tonight here at this church. Enjoyed the good meal and the fellowship during the dinner hour. Enjoyed the singing and appreciate the public prayer. The love and the kindness of your pastor toward me. And enjoyed being with you last night, and trust the Lord will bless us as we gather here this evening. I want to notice with you tonight in chapter 14 of Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 14, a wonderful lesson concerning Jesus Christ and Simon the leper and a dear lady who came to anoint his body for the burial. Now, I'd like to begin tonight in verse 1 of chapter 14. You know, context is very important in the study of the Bible. You really need to have the context of your text, I think, to be able to understand what is being taught. So I want to begin here in verse 1 of chapter 14. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. Now, first of all, I'd like to mention that not everybody loved Jesus. Not everybody wanted to worship him. And this verse tells us that there were people, the chief priests and the scribes, wanted to put him to death. And I think there are people in the world today who would still feel that way about Jesus Christ. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Now, what could they have against Jesus Christ? Last night I tried to preach some on our Savior and what Paul had to say about him in Hebrews 1 and 2. He is altogether lovely. There's not a blemish on him in any way. He is altogether lovely. And the fairest of 10,000 to our souls, if you have eyes to see him as he is. He's certainly that to us tonight. But for those who have not been blessed to see, they were wanting to put him to death. Now, verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Now, I want you to get this picture tonight. Here's the chief priests and the scribes who are plotting to put Jesus to death. But in the city of Bethany, there is a man who obviously loves Jesus Christ enough that he's invited him into his house for a meal. There's a great contrast there. Do you see that? In people who would put him to death and others who would have him in their home for a meal. And it was Simon the leper who lived in Bethany, which was not very far from Jerusalem. Simon the leper. Now, we know that at this time he was not a leper, because the law of Israel said that people with leprosy had to be put off in a colony somewhere. They had to be in isolation. If you had leprosy, you couldn't be here tonight among the well people. So evidently this man at one time had leprosy, but he had been healed. And I believe it was Jesus who would have healed him. And now, out of his love for the Savior, he invites him into his home. If Jesus Christ was alive tonight on this earth in his body, would you like to have him in your home? Would you give him a place at your table? Would you want him to spend the night with you? I believe everybody here tonight loves Jesus Christ. You'd be honored to have him in your home, wouldn't you? Well, Simon the leper has invited him into his house. And while he's sitting at meat at the table, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment. Now, alabaster was a stone of some kind. It was sort of a decorative stone that could be carved, and you could make vases out of it or little bottles out of it. And she had a little bottle made out of alabaster, and it is full of ointment of spikenard. Very precious. Now that's important to remember. It's very precious. The Bible says it cost 300 pence. And the best I've ever been able to find out, probably it was worth what would have been a year's wages in that day and time. So today, if you make $30,000, $40,000 a year, that's what that spikenard would cost today. Now, she comes into the house and she breaks this alabaster box and she poured it on his head. Now, do you think that's an act of love? I think we'll see. Surely it was. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? And we know who those people were. It was the disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, wherever Jesus went, 12 other men went with him. So if you're going to have him for supper, you're going to have 12 other men with you. Baptist preachers. And they were there in the house, and they saw this woman take this expensive ointment and pour it on his head. And they all really complain about it. But we find out in other scriptures who the ringleader was. It was Judas Iscariot who really complained about what she did. You know why he complained? Because he was the treasurer. He kept the bag for Jesus. He was the treasurer. And the Bible says he was a thief. But his argument is, we could have sold this ointment and given it to the poor. Now, if he'd ever got his hands on it, you reckon the poor would have ever gotten it? He was going to redistribute the wealth, but I imagine it was going into his bag, his pocket. But the other disciples went along with him. But notice, if you will, what Jesus says in verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. What if you were on somebody's case and God said to you, let them alone? Would that get your attention? Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. Now Jesus loves the poor, and he believes in helping the poor. He's not against helping the poor. Matter of fact, he told a rich young ruler one time to sell all he had and give it to the poor. Now, why does Jesus say what he does here? He says, the poor you have with you always. You know, he made that statement 2,000 years ago. Do we still have poor people in the world? Dan and I were talking today about worldwide poverty. If you make $40,000 a year, did you know that puts you in the 1% income of the human race? Some of you tonight probably didn't think you would get along so well, did you? If you're making $40,000 a year, you're in the 1% of the human race. I'm telling you, there's a lot of poverty in the world tonight. A lot of the human race lives on about a dollar a day. So when Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always, that was a prophetic statement he made 2,000 years ago, and it's still true today, isn't it? He knew what he was talking about. He said, you'll be able to help the poor on down the road. They'll be around when I'm gone. But listen to what he says. He says, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. And when you and I have the opportunity to help somebody that's poor, we ought to do it. But me, ye have not always. Now verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. This woman understood something that I don't think the disciples understood. She understood that Jesus was going to the cross to die. Apparently the disciples didn't get it. They still didn't get it. I want to tell you, Christianity does not look down on women. As a matter of fact, it elevates women more than any religion ever has in the history of the world. And Jesus is honoring this woman in a culture, in the first century, a male-dominated culture. In a house where there is at least 14 men, this woman comes in and does something totally unexpected. And they're all on her case, and Jesus says, let her alone. She's come to anoint my body for the burial. She understood that death was coming to Jesus. And her time to anoint Him was short, and she'd have to do it soon. And all my friends, she takes this expensive ointment and she anoints His body. Now let's look at verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Jesus said 2,000 years ago that wherever my gospel is preached in all the world, people will be talking about what she just did as a memorial to her. Now here I am tonight, March of 2014 in Fort Valley, Georgia, talking about this woman. I'm trying to do what Jesus said we ought to do. I'm talking about what Mary did. And it's a memorial to her. I want to tell you, we're here to worship only God tonight, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we ought to deeply appreciate and honor those who have been faithful in His service through the centuries. And Jesus says this will be a memorial of this woman. You know what a memorial is? It's to keep memory alive. Our cemeteries are full of memorials. Washington, D.C. is full of memorials. We don't want to forget those that have lived before us. We want to honor them. And this woman will be honored in the midst of the church, wherever the gospel will be preached. Now I want to come back and notice what Jesus said about what she did. Jesus says in verse 8, she hath done what she could. I love that. And I want to spend the rest of my time tonight looking at that expression, she hath done what she could. You know, a lot of people end up in this life with a mindset that they can never do enough. Have you ever been bothered with that mindset? Maybe you had a parent or a teacher or somebody in your childhood that they just couldn't be pleased and you could never do enough for them. And you end up as an adult driven, trying to do more and more and more, and you can never do enough. And sometimes in a highly dysfunctional home where there's an alcoholic or a drug addict parent, and the child is always trying to do more and more and more to make that home a loving, peaceful home. And they think, if I just do more, Mama would quit drinking. If I just do more, Daddy would come back. And that's sad for children to grow up with that mentality. You can never do enough. But I want everybody in the house tonight to know this, that your God is a reasonable God. And He is requiring of us a reasonable service. And you can please Him. Did you know that? There's some people on this earth you can't please. You might be married to them. You might have a pastor that you can't please. You might have a boss you can't please. You might have a sibling you can't please. You might have a neighbor you can never please. But I want to tell you, you've got a God in heaven that only expects of you that which is reasonable. And Paul said, I can do all things through Him that strengtheneth me. Whatever God expects of us, we can do it. And that's what Jesus is saying about this woman. She hath done what she could. Oh, I love that. Just remember tonight, beloved, Jesus Christ loves you. And yes, He expects things out of us. But what He expects out of us is very reasonable. It's not unreasonable. Paul said, present your body as a living sacrifice. Isn't that what he said in Romans chapter 12? And he says that is a reasonable service. Our God is reasonable. And when He calls on us to do something, I believe He gives us the grace and the strength to do what He calls on us to do. And you know, what I may be called to do may not be what you're called to do. Don't try to do what somebody else does. Do what God has laid on your heart to do. And you know, as I look at this beautiful chapter tonight, it's obvious that Simon the leper is doing what he can. He's inviting Jesus into his home and preparing the meal. And you dear ones tonight, I don't know who all brought the food tonight and last night, but I can tell you it was delicious. And that's an act of love when you bring food to the house of God and the saints gather around the table and a good meal is provided for us. You know, we have it so much, we kind of take it for granted. But you've done what you could, and I commend you for that. And Simon is certainly doing what he can do. And as you read the New Testament, it becomes obvious that different people have different callings of God on their lives and different gifts, different talents. And God doesn't expect me to do what He has called somebody else to do. He expects me to abide in my own calling. And don't try to compare yourself to other people. Don't spend your life on this earth trying to be somebody that you're not. God is a God of variety. I'm telling you, He is a God of variety. I don't know how many people are here tonight, but I can tell you we all have our own fingerprints. We all have our own voice. We all even walk a little differently. Blind people can identify folks by the way they pick their feet up and down. You don't even walk like anybody else walks on this earth. You don't look like anybody else. And the truth is, you're not anybody else. And if you try to be somebody else, you're a double failure because you're certainly not somebody else. But while you're trying to be somebody else, you're not being yourself. You know, when I first started trying to preach, I struggled with that. You know, I'd like to have been able to preach like Elder Darden. Well, if God had wanted me
to preach like Elder Darnay, he'd have made me Elder Darnay. Right? I used to admire Elder Pat Byrd, his sense of humor, his wit, his quick wit, his insight into the Scriptures. But if God had wanted me to be Elder Byrd, he'd have called me Elder Byrd. I mean, he would have made me Elder Byrd. Do y'all understand that? I used to hear Brother Sonny Piles preach when I was young, and Brother Sonny would put so much information in a sermon, my brain would hurt just trying to comprehend it all. And I thought, I wish I could preach like that. If God had wanted me to be Brother Sonny, He'd have made me Brother Sonny. He made me me. And He made you, you. And every one of you ought to be saying right now, amen. Don't try to be anybody else. You are an original. God doesn't make carbon copies. It's incredible the variety that God has. This is just amazing. So when Jesus says about this woman, she had done what she could, He's saying that she was inspired to do this. God obviously laid it on her heart, gave her insight, and now she's come to do it. And though it's going to be very costly, she's willing to do it, and she's glad to do it. It's not something she could do every day, obviously. You couldn't take a year's wages and pour it on somebody's head every day. But I want to tell you, this was a special occasion and a special time in the life of the Savior. And she has come to do what she could. And I want to say to everybody here tonight, God is in your life and He's calling you to do something. And you need to do what you can do in this life. Don't waste your life trying to do what you can't do. You know, when you go to the gym and you try to lift 700 pounds, you're just wasting your time. I'm thinking that. There may be some heavyweight lifter here tonight, but I'm guessing probably y'all don't look like... That's not an offensive statement. I'm just observing you all. I don't think anybody here tonight can lift 700 pounds. If you go to the gym, start out doing what you can. When I turned 65 and got on Medicare, I got a supplement, a Blue Cross supplement to my Medicare, and they gave me a Silver Sneakers membership to about 7 gyms in Birmingham, Alabama. I go to the Y, I go to the 24E, and go to Golden Gym, and brother, I got excited about it. That's quite a perk. And I went in there, and I was just going to, you know, I didn't pace myself. And I was trying to do a lot I couldn't do. And I ended up hurting myself. You need to pace yourself. You need to know what your calling is, what your gift is, and abide in it. Is that right? That's very simple. And just please, don't spend your life on this earth comparing yourself to other people, because I can tell you that that's bondage to God's children in this life. You know, Paul taught that to the Corinthians. He said, you know, the church is a body. Bethany Church here in Fort Valley, Georgia is a body. I don't know how many members you all have, but you know, let's say you have 20 members. Well, every member of this church is unique and different. And one member cannot say to another member, I'm so great, I don't need you. And Paul said to the church at Corinth, the eye cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. Now obviously the eye does something the foot can't do. The eye is very important. We value our eyesight. It's a great blessing. But I want to tell you, in a bear fight, the eye would need the foot, wouldn't it? You mean you'd need your feet to get away? You can't, no part of the body can say to another part of the body, I don't need you. But the eye does one thing, the ear does another thing, the nose, the mouth, every member of the body, the hands, the fingers, the feet, all the internal organs, they are part of the body, but beloved, they all have their different functions. And so it is in the body of the church. And then Paul said, there are some people who feel like they're so insignificant that the body body doesn't need them. That's not true. Every part of the body is needful in the body. And I want to encourage this church to function. You all have a wonderful pastor who's he's a shepherd to this flock, and he loves you all, and his wife loves you all. And he wants to see this church prosper in the Lord, and he wants to see it at peace, and he wants to see everybody loving one another, and he wants to see this church grow. And he needs your help. He may be the under-shepherd of the flock, but every member is important. And I tell you, it's such an encouragement to a pastor to get to the house of God and see all the members there, ready to worship, excited about worship. You get to church and some of the members are not there. It's just like part of the body not being there. Make up your mind to be here, not just during the annual meeting, but be here in the house of God and do what you can. If you can lead the singing, do so. If you can offer a public prayer, do so. If you can just sit out there and nod your head, and let me tell you, that's encouraging. And if you can put a smile on your face, that's double encouragement, right? It's hard to preach to people that look like they just had a, you know, they were baptized in lemon juice. I want to tell you, if you sit out there and just smile at the preacher and look excited, that's helpful in the house of God. And don't sit out there looking like you're a judge. And don't sit out there with the attitude, preacher, just try to preach to me. Just see if you can preach to me. That's the stinking attitude, folks. That's not doing what you can. You can be a part of a wonderful worship service in the house of God. And when it comes to whatever God has laid on your heart to do, you can do it. God will give you the grace to do it. And it may not be something that's going to get recognized. You know, Jesus said to the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. And I believe the kingdom of God there is the church. Now, how in the world was anybody going to exceed the outward righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? I mean, these people knew the law, and outwardly they kept the law. But it was all show business. They did it for show. And they didn't do it unless somebody was looking at them. And if you have a dollar in this hand to give and a trumpet in this hand to blow so everybody will see you giving your dollar, that's the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, right? Your righteousness has got to exceed that. You know what Jesus said about the scribes and the Pharisees? He said, outwardly, you're like whitened sepulchres. In Cool Springs Cemetery, there is a mausoleum in the cemetery. It looks kind of out of place, but actually it's pretty. And a man from Florida died, and he didn't want to be buried in the ground. He wanted to be buried above the ground, so he had this mausoleum put up, and he set aside enough money so it's being cleaned every year, and it sparkles. It's clean. But you know what it's full of? Dead men's bones. And Jesus said about the scribes and the Pharisees, outwardly, you're like a whitened sepulcher. You put on a big show. You're hypocrites. You're in the theater. You're just playing religion. But inwardly, you're full of dead men's bones. Oh, brethren and sisters, we don't want to put on a show. Jesus says when you pray, go in your own closet and pray in secret. He said when you give alms, do it in secret. He said when you fast, don't put on a long face and tell everybody you're fasting. Just do it with a smile on your face.
And your Father in heaven will see it. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? This woman didn't do what she did to get the applause of men. She did it out of a sense of love for her Savior. She knew Jesus loved her, and she loved Him. And I want to tell you, Christianity is all about love.
Amen.
Paul said to the Corinthians, love of Christ constraineth us. We have a hospital in Birmingham, a Catholic hospital, and they have that scripture in a stained glass window, and they've got it down at the bottom. And I don't know what version they use. I don't know what version it is, but it says the love of Christ urges us. Well, I think the love of Christ does more than urges. What do y'all think? I tell you, when I get a little vision of how much He loves me, it constrains me to love Him back. I don't want to lose my first love for my Savior. What about y'all? Y'all want to be as excited as you were when you first saw the light? This woman, her love for the Savior is so tremendous. She would take a year's wages and spend it on this ointment and anoint His head with oil for His burial. And I tell you, Jesus Christ is calling on us tonight to love Him. Now, He's not here tonight for us to anoint Him or to wash His feet or to give Him a cup of water. But you know what Jesus said? He said, inasmuch as you've given a cool drink of water to one of these My little ones, you've done it unto Me. Dan and I were talking today about, you know, things that have been done to us in the past. And people doing for us what they could. I remember I told Dan today about when I was 11 years old and my father had a stroke and he was crippled in body and in mind, paralyzed, his speech impaired, and he couldn't preach anymore and he couldn't make a living anymore. I remember a lady in our community who had a boy my age, Brother Gary's aunt, Rosa. She came over and got me, took me and Robert to Macon, Georgia. When I was a kid, we didn't go to Macon but once a year. In the fall of the year, we got to go to J.C. Penney's to buy our fall school clothes. And I remember I could smell the hot dogs all the way from Danville to Macon. We didn't eat in any fancy restaurants, but we would get a hot dog. And I remember that. And Miss Rosa took me to the S&S cafeteria. I've never been any place like that in my life. And she said, just give whatever you want. And I remember my tray was so full, it was dangerous. I never saw food like that. And she took me to a store and bought me a beautiful blue shirt. I remember the color of it to this day. I guess that's why blue is still my favorite color. And then she took us to a swimming pool. I've never been to a swimming pool. That dear woman was doing for me what she could. And I've never forgot it. And all my lifetime, people have been doing for me what they could. When I started going to school down in Cochrane, there was a dear sister, Davis, whose husband had died. And she said, Sammy, I want you to come and I'll let you have a room in my house. And I believe she's the best cook in Georgia. And she let me stay there, and she never charged me a dime. And she would feed me 3 meals a day. It was just a little shotgun kind of house, you know. But I want to tell you, it was full of love. She was doing for me what she could. Elder Darty, I mentioned him. When I was 16, I tell you, I wish every young preacher could have a pastor like Elder Darty. When I was 16, he took me with him on a long preaching trip. I'd never been out of the state of Georgia. We went to Alabama, Birmingham to preach the first night, Jackson, Mississippi the next night, went to Dallas, Texas on Wednesday night, started a meeting there with Elder Alden and Elder Sonny Piles. On Sunday we drove up to Graham with Brother Sonny, and he and his wife put their membership in Graham Church that Sunday. Then we left there and went to Oklahoma. We went to Arkansas. We came back to Alabama. And Brother Darty just opened doors for me everywhere.
built me up and encouraged me. He did what He could. Are you doing what you can for people in your life tonight? Or is it all about you? That's a good question to ask, folks. Isn't that right? Is your life being lived for other people? You're doing what you can? Or is it just all about you? I think that's the most empty, miserable, bankrupt way to live on this earth. Just live for you. Make all you can all you make, and sit on that lid and wait for the undertaker to come and take you away. And you know, you're going to have to leave it all behind. One preacher told a man that. He said, you're going to have to leave all that wealth behind. He said, I ain't going then. You can't take it with you. Share it. Be good to people. Little things. You know, just a phone call can mean so much. Our church recently, we installed this phone system where I can call and leave a message about somebody sick in our church or a meeting that's going on. And it goes out, and all the old folks in our church just love it. They like to hear their pastor's voice. Saves me a lot of time. And you just pick up the phone and call somebody. Or our church has a habit. Somebody's in the hospital in our church. One of our brethren will send them a bouquet of flowers. And brother, I tell you, it just means the world to people. To get a little bouquet of flowers. Sometimes we've got somebody that's been sick a while and we'll have a card and everybody signs it. And not long ago, Nelda and I took a card to a dear lady who was in the hospital. And she sat there and just read those names over and over and just wept. It wasn't much. The card didn't probably cost $2. But the church was doing what it could. You don't have to find a cure for cancer. To bless this world, you can just do what you can. Are y'all listening to me tonight? You count in this world. God recognizes what you do for His children. Jesus said, you just give a cool drink of water to one of these My little ones, and you've done it unto Me. You know, there was a little boy in the Gospels that had a little lunch, a boy's lunch, just a few fish and a few pieces of bread, just enough for a little boy. And he gave it to Jesus. And Jesus blessed it. And it fed thousands. And I want to tell you, a little is always a lot when God is in it. You do it for His glory. You do it for His honor. And He blesses it. And you may never live to see the blessing that it will be to people down the road. Oh, brethren, may God help us as we live our days out on this earth. Now, you may say, well, Brother Sam, I can't do much. If you're here tonight and you love this church and you love Jesus and you're not a member, I want to tell you what you can do. I can't. Because I've already done it. I did it 50 years ago. I joined the church and was baptized. But if you're here tonight and you've never followed Jesus in baptism, you can do what you can do tonight. Amen. I can't do it for you. We got folks in Birmingham, if I could do it for them, I would. But they wouldn't get the blessing out of it. And you'd bless this church just by casting your lot here and following Jesus and being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I believe that blesses God, don't y'all? How are you going to bless God? He doesn't need anything tonight. But I tell you one thing He wants, and that's worship. He seeks worship. He's a spirit and He seeks it. Here's something God seeks. He's not seeking your money. He's not seeking what you have in this world. But I tell you what He is seeking. He's seeking worship. He wants to be worshipped. And that's what we're here tonight for, isn't it? God is a spirit and seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's why we want to keep coming to church, isn't it? Doing what little we can. We can't save America. We can't turn the government around. But I tell you what, we do what we can. And I want to tell you, the prayers of the saints of God can do a lot in this world. Prayer, don't ever underestimate the power of prayer in the lives of little children here in this world. And I tell you, you and me you and me equals weak. I don't want to serve God alone. I want to have your fellowship as we walk down the road together. Now I want to try to bring this to a close tonight. Did you know all of us are going to be remembered? All of us. Everybody here is going to be remembered. You're going to have a legacy, whether you want one or not. You're going to be remembered. I read one time about a lady whose husband died. They must not have had much of a marriage. She called the newspaper and she wanted to put an obituary in the paper. And the reporter said, "Well, what do you want to say?" She said, "Just say Jimmy James died." And the newspaper man said, "Well, you have to have a limit of 2 lines. You got to have, what else do you want to say?" She said, "A 1999 black Toyota for sale." That's all she could say about her deceased husband. Folks, don't live your life like that. Live your life in such a way that even the undertaker will be kind of sad when you die. I believe Mark Twain says that. Wouldn't that be a great way to live your life? Now, he's going to make money on you, but he didn't be sad when you die. Let's all try to live a good life. That's what this world needs tonight. We don't need more movie stars, I don't think.
I believe we've got too many of them now. And too many people want to be a movie star. I doubt if there's a shortage of athletes or country music singers. And I know there's no shortage of rock and roll singers. I tell you what, there is a shortage of people just going around doing what they can for others. And you and I can work on that. And let's try to live in such a way that there will be a memorial. Now, we don't want people to brag on us when we die. Of course, you know how it is. Usually when somebody dies, all of a sudden they become very good people. But let's not wait till we die for people to be able to say something good about us. No, Jesus Christ honors this woman. He says, this will be told of her as a memorial to her. And I'm trying to fulfill that tonight, right here in this pulpit. I'm honoring this woman. Because Jesus told me to speak of it. And I believe the reason it's in here is for you and me to model our lives after it. Right? Let's just do what we can. Let's try to be a blessing on this earth. I'd like to try to preach some on the body itself. His body was precious. Your body's precious. He's coming back to get it someday. Maybe we'll get into that at a later time. But may the Lord help us to do what we can. I thank you for your wonderful attention tonight. May God bless you.